And then that's taking responsibility on a national level. How do we take responsibility in our nation? Well, certainly you have the power of the vote. You, if you are interested enough and care enough, can keep up with things that involve the environment, issues, and bonds related to the natural resources. We have the power of the vote, of course. Our tax dollars support local, state, and national parks and game refuges and whatnot. Go to support those. USDA Natural Resources Conservation Wildlife Habitat Incentive Program. The USDA have programs to help promote and give incentive to the development of wildlife protection areas. There is financial assistance available for those who want to develop wildlife habitats. And then, of course, there's the possibility of selling your development rights to preserve land for wildlife habitat. I know people that have sold their land, the rights to that land, so that it can be preserved. There's a huge one down near where I used to live in Selbyville, the Wildlands down by Cypress Swamp, where land has been donated for preservation. But the most important taking responsibility point I want to make here today is taking responsibility spiritually. This is not just a conservation issue. This is a spiritual issue. When you stop and think about it, everything has a spiritual thread in it. Do you want to grow spiritually? I'd like to think all of us want to grow spiritually. Do we want less stress in our life? I'm all for that. Do we want more joy in our lives? Do we want improved relations and have an impact on our habitat? It's possible, you know. It's possible through something called contentment. Contentment. You'll recall last fall we talked about contentment also in regards to our financial stewardship. Being content, being satisfied with what we have. Contentment. It seems as though our culture, the world, is never satisfied. We always want more and more and more. And that causes greed and lust that rapes and depletes our natural resources, all because of greed, all because of lust, instead of being content with what we have. I suppose our best example of contentment is Jesus himself, when you stop and think about it. Jesus could have had everything. He could have been the king of the world materially. He could have had everything. The devil, you know, tempted him in the desert and offered him all the kingdoms of the world and all the riches of the world. But he said no. No, that was not God's plan for him. Instead, Jesus chose a life of sharing, a life of sacrifice, a life of serving, and living with contentment. You want to see contentment? Look to Jesus. Look to how he lived. Look at where he lived. A disciple said one day that he wanted to follow Jesus wherever he went. And Jesus told him something very important. He said, you know, foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. That tells me that Jesus was somewhat of a transient. He really didn't own a home. He didn't own a place of his own. He lived among others and at the mercy of others. But he had much joy. He had joy. We can see that in his relationships with the people that he was around. But his joy was not based upon material possessions. Later on, the Apostle Paul teaches and preaches the same thing. In Philippians 4, 11-13, Paul writes these words to the Philippian church. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Listen to that. Be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through Him who gives me the strength. I can do all things, another translation says, in Christ Jesus. And then he tells his protege, Timothy, again, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, holiness, righteousness with contentment is a good thing, is great gain, Paul is saying to us. Just as we need to obey God's call to stewardship, there's a world out there that needs to know that caring for our habitat without God can help the environment. In other words, there are many, many good, well-intentioned people out there working for preservation, working in conservation, working for the environment that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're doing fantastic work. Praise God for them. But it will not result in eternal redemption. Now, I know that's pretty heavy here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning to think about. Let me just qualify that with an illustration. I read a story this week about a conservation official. Don't know which state or where he was from, but he had been working with conservation in the forestry department for all his life, practically. Worked with trees. At some point in his career, he sensed an emptiness, a void in what he was doing. He loved his work. He loved being out in the woods. He loved working with trees and working outside. But there, something within him was empty. I felt kind of the same way when I was working with Boy Scouts. Before I came into a real serious relationship with Jesus Christ, I felt an emptiness. I was working with these Boy Scouts and teaching them all about, you know, trust and reverence and cleanliness and all the Scout law stuff, trustworthiness and so forth. But it wasn't fulfilling enough. There was still something missing. And it wasn't until I met Jesus that gave it more depth and more meaning. And the same sort of thing happened with this conservation official. He had heard the gospel message many times. Oh, sure, he'd been to funerals, he'd been to baptisms, he'd been to weddings and whatnot, and he'd heard the message on TV by a televangelist from time to time. But there was still something missing. He had not internalized it and didn't respond. And then he writes, one day God spoke to him. God spoke to his heart. And God said to him, he records, "You go to great lengths," God said, "to care for the trees, but you don't lift a finger to care for your soul." That got the man's attention. And he started thinking about what he was doing. And he started thinking about his eternal destiny. And he started thinking about his relationship with God. And so, hesitantly, he started going to church with his wife, who had been praying for him for years. He started going to church, and he started hearing the Word of God. Then he gave his life to the Lord one day. He surrendered his will to God's will. Now he had a deeper appreciation for what he did every day and had been doing for years. Now it had real meaning. Now he understood creation a little bit better. Now the emptiness had been filled and there was no more void, and now he had a conviction in what he was doing because he saw it now as the Lord's work, caring for the environment. It gave it a whole new dimension of meaning. You see, this man allowed God to come into his heart and to transform him from the inside out. I want to leave you with two things today. And I hope you'll remember them as we face the coming week and as we go our separate ways today. I want to invite you to take a walk around your property, wherever you live. You may live in a condominium, for that matter. Take a walk around your community. Take a walk out your backyard. Take some time and look at the trees. Really look at the trees. This is a beautiful time of year. The trees are all in bloom. The flowers are blooming. Everything seems to be going well. Yeah, we could use some rain, no doubt about that. Do you really appreciate the wildlife that's all around you? I walk in my development about two times. It's about 2.5 miles. And for many, many months, when I first started walking there, I never really paid much attention to the wildlife that's there. I never really paid much attention to it. Now I've started taking a closer look. We have those, what do they call them, drainage ponds and whatnot. And the other day I saw a turtle in there. Never saw the turtle before. Walked by it 100 times. I realized there's a big old turtle back there in our pond, Rich. My neighbor sitting back there, he knows what I'm talking about. And then blue herons. We see those all over the place. And I told you last week we saw the sandpipers. The killdeers out in our backyard. Being aware of what's living right under our noses. And then ask God how you can do a better job in preserving and taking care of this gift that God has given us. To help care for the habitat. To help develop healthy conservation habits so that we can enjoy healthy habitats for many, many, many years to come. Let it begin in your own backyard. You can make a difference. We can make a difference. But more importantly, I want you to examine the habitat of your own soul. Think about that. Do you have inner peace? I'm talking the real peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Do you have peace with God? The conservation official I mentioned in my story did not have real, true peace until he came into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you serving the Lord or are you serving someone else? Something else? How is it with the habitat of your own soul, let alone the habitat around you in the woods, in the forests, in the trees? Today, yes, is a call to care for our habitats, but more importantly, it must be a call for the care of the habitat of your own soul. Is it well with your soul, in the words of the old hymn? When peace like a river, do you have that peace in your hearts because you know Jesus Christ? Today, you can know that peace with a decision, with a choice. And maybe you just need to recommit yourselves to that choice that you made long ago. And ask God to heal your heart, to come again. To help you in your struggle. We are called to be ambassadors to Christ. We are called to be representatives of God's kingdom in the world. The God who created all that we see. The God who offers to all the gift of eternal salvation. That's the kind of God we serve. And he's a great big God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your reminder that we are called to be caretakers of your environment. And we are so blessed, Lord, to have this beautiful world to live in. Forgive us, O Lord, when we do things that destroy it, that waste resources. Forgive us, O God, so that we can do better tomorrow. And help us, Lord, in all of our efforts to care for our land. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you for the reminder that none of this means anything until the habitat of our soul is right with you. And I pray, Father, that if there is anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, that does not have that vital relationship and that connection with your kingdom, that they will invite you in right now, right here. Maybe through the words of the closing song, God of Wonders, they will realize that the God of Wonders, the God of heaven and earth, loves them with an everlasting love and has forgiven them through the blood of Jesus on the cross. Lord, let this be the day of salvation for someone so that we can be set free for joyful obedience in the caring of your world. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.